This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. And we'll have on hand with us Eric Snodgrass from Agribull to take an in-depth look at the weather forecast. In fact, he's near now, as he usually is on a Friday afternoon. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for being with us and for coming to the Farm Assets Conference, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of figure out what the rest of winter is going to be like and then get that first kind of spring forecast in once we get to that point in November.
Should be a good day. You can pick your tickets up right now at willag.org. They're just $35 or at 800-898-1065. Let's talk about, Eric, weather for the next several days here. We've been kind of up and down in temperatures and sunshine and rain. What's up next?
Yeah, it has been a roller coaster ride. And honestly, we've just had repeated shots of cold air followed by these brief warm-ups. And we're in for another warm-up, coming up pretty soon. In fact, we had a fun kind of thing to discuss in my classes yesterday, and that we had what's called a 6Z low. So if you remember this, going into Thursday morning, we had temperatures basically rising all night long. So the high temperature on Wednesday was technically set at midnight because of that warm air advection. And that's the thing that I'm kind of keen in on over the weekend. So my biggest concern is that by the time we get into Sunday, we're going to see a frontal boundary, a cold front that's going to stretch across parts of the Corn Belt, really going right through the heart of Illinois into parts of Indiana, Michigan, even back toward Missouri. And out ahead of that, by the time we get to Sunday, we're going to see some pretty strong southerly winds that are going to bring in moisture, and we're going to be able to destabilize the atmosphere. And that means that when that front starts to lift the air, it will lift it into an unstable atmosphere. Long story short, that means we have a severe weather risk. Now, severe weather risk in November is a lot more rare than it is, of course, during the summer. And why I'm getting concerned about this is that, yeah, we're expecting some strong storms, but we still have quite a bit of corn still in the field that needs to get harvested. And as these storms kind of come through, I'm worried about, some of those corn stands that are left over in parts of Indiana and Illinois, Ohio, and southern Michigan, because with some strong winds, we may do some damage there. And in addition to that, the rain that's going to come with this system, is going to hit a part of the Corn Belt that's been quite wet. And I just took a look the last 30 days through parts of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, and even parts of Wisconsin have been well over 150% of normal in rainfall. Now, just because I know this will be fresh in some of our listeners' ears, I want to make sure that we know that the setup right now is not quite as conducive to the development of massive severe storms like we had in November 2013. Remember, that was when we had that big Washington, Illinois tornado that caused a lot of damage. So we're not looking at a setup like that, but some strong storms certainly on their way. Oh, and don't forget, we fall back on this Sunday. So daylight saving time ends. And with the ending of daylight saving time, we have severe weather and then a big shot of cold air coming in next week.
Oh, an Arctic plunge, maybe?
Yeah, that's what the pattern's doing right now. We are watching closely for the position of this big ridge over the Bering Sea. And just to give you a little geography primer here, that's just to the west of Alaska. So the Bering Sea, that particular region, tends to kind of help govern the overall flow of the jet stream almost throughout the entire year. And what I've been seeing, and we've been talking about this for a while, is big ridge there, and that really sets us up to have a broader trough over kind of eastern Canada, and we just keep getting these shortwave troughs. These are cold air, pockets of cold air aloft that keeps zipping through the northern tier of states, and they come through and get us, and when that happens, our temperatures just plunge, and then after they go by, they warm back up again. So this roller coaster ride we're on, I don't see it ending before Thanksgiving. It's just going to be an up, down, up, down, and where I'm concerned is with that eastern Corn Belt just staying wet. So that's you're right there. We're not getting out of that pattern anytime soon.
We'd better check in on South America as well. What do you see?
Well, we've been talking for the last month or so about how the northern growing regions and especially the eastern growing regions have been very dry, while the southern growing regions in Brazil have been very wet. We talked about how that's been delaying planting. Well, what we call the South American Convergence Zone, that's basically the major player in the Brazilian monsoon. That has now really kind of established the way that we would expect it to. So we're expecting quite a bit of rain, especially for those drier regions over the next 10 days or so. But our latest projections for yields, we have a statistical model that we use to forecast yields down there early in the season. It's dropped over what we had preseason. And so now we're looking at, a lot closer to average yields, maybe slightly below trend yields. But what's important to remember about South America is that even if they do have a bit of a hit on their yields this year. Certainly they got in late, but if they have a bit of a hit on their yields, this will still be the second largest crop that'll come out of the country. So, you know, if they had their infrastructure together and they were able to move that grain faster, this would be a much bigger player on our global, especially our soybean market. I think the bigger thing that we need to think about here is that the markets know this, so they've already kind of sensed this is the case. But I think what will be interesting to see change will be how that safrinha crop goes in, if there's any delay in that, and what that might mean for corn prices as we start off our spring.
Hey, thanks for all the information, Eric.
Yep, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.